Today is the ninth Sunday after Pentecost. It's also the feast day of St. Proxedes. So the second oration, secret post communion that we pray at Mass today, you find any missals on her feast day on July 21st. Also, just a reminder about August 26th, it's almost just a month away, we are having our seventh annual St. Pius V Open. It is the golf benefit for the benefit of the proceeds for the building of the new school. So there are flyers outside if you'd like to have a foursome or just like to come to dinner that evening. We're going to have one of our own parishioners there. We'll have his various casino tables there for a little enjoyment that evening also. So if you'd just like to come for dinner and that night, there will be a golf outing that day and a dinner that evening. It will be on August 26th, that's Monday, August 26th, for our seventh annual golf tournament. The epistle upon which we read for the ninth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, let us not covet evil things, as they also coveted. Neither become ye idolaters, as some of them, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed fornication, and there fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them tempted, and perished by the serpents. Neither do you murmur, as some of them murmured, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them in figure, and they are written for our correction, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore he that thinketh himself to stand, let him take heed lest he fall. Let no temptation take hold of you, but as such is human. And God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will make also with temptation issue, that you may be able to bear it. And the Holy Gospel. This Gospel taken from St. Luke, chapter 19, verses 41 through 47. At that time, when Jesus drew near Jerusalem, seeing the city, he wept over it, saying, If thou also hadst known, and that in this thy day the things that are to thy peace, but now they are hidden from thy eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, and thy enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and straiten thee on every side, and beat thee flat to the ground, and thy children who are in thee. And they shall not leave in thee a stone upon a stone, but thou hast, because thou hast known, not known the time of thy visitation. And entering into the temple, he began to cast them out that sold therein and them that bought, saying to them, It is written, My house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he was teaching daily in the temple. Those are the words of today's Holy Gospel. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them tempted and perished by the serpents. And neither let do you murmur, as some of them murmured, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Words that are taken from today's epistle. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today, my dear faithful, is the ninth Sunday after Pentecost. And we are fast approaching the halfway mark between the first Sunday of Pentecost and the first Sunday of Advent. As we approach the halfway mark, Holy Mother, the Church turns our minds once again to the last things. For it's good to think about the last end in our life while we have something to do and something to be able to accomplish before our last end. If we wait until the end to think about it, we might not have time to do anything about it. And because our thoughts are supposed to be again to the last things, Holy Mother, the Church directs the priest to think about the prophet Elias. In the daily breviary that the priest prays, we read the life of Elias the prophet. Elias was sent as a prophet to the kingdom of Israel. Now, at the time of Solomon, all of the tribes of the Hebrews were together. But because of the tribes of Solomon, the tribes were split. The two kingdoms. There was a northern kingdom and there was a southern kingdom. In the northern kingdom were 10 tribes, and in the southern kingdom there were 2 tribes. And the reason the kingdom was split was because of the sins of Solomon. In the northern tribe, they had their capital in Shechem and then in Samaria. And in the southern tribe was called the kingdom of Judah. Their capital was Jerusalem. As they say, the kingdom of the north, the kingdom of Israel, is made up of 10 tribes. The kingdom of the south was the other two, Benjamin and Judah. But the prophet Elias was to preach to the kingdom of Israel, that is the 10 tribes to the north. And he pointed out to them their sins and the sins of their rulers. He told them that they were going to be punished by God. And the people did not want to hear it. In fact, as we read in the life of Elias, they persecuted Elias. They sought to put him to death. At one point, Elias called fire down from heaven, and it consumed the king's son and 50 of his men. The distinguishing characteristic about Elias was that all his life he was the champion of the rights of God. And so he shall come again at the end of the world, because Elias did not die. He was taken up into heaven in a fiery chariot. And he will come again before the end of the world. He will come and he will convert the Hebrews to whom he preached. He will convert them to the Catholic faith. Elias is a type of the figure of Christ. St. Augustine says of Elias, he says, Elias suffered persecution from the Jews. Our Lord, the true Elias, was despised and rejected by the very same people. Elias left his own country to be a prophet, and Christ forsook the synagogue and made the Gentiles welcome. Elias warned the kingdom of Israel about the punishment that was to come. Christ warned the kingdom of Judah. And as Elias was taken up to heaven, Christ ascended into heaven. As Elias will return before the end of the world, Christ will come at the end of the world. The warning that we have today is a warning about complacency. St. Paul mentions it in today's epistle. He says, God led the chosen people out of the bondage of Egypt. He led them into the desert towards the promised land. And they, journeying through the desert, soon forgot about God, and they forgot about the promised land. They forgot about their mission. They began to covet evil things. They became idolaters. They committed sins of impurity. They tempted God and murmured against Him until finally they were punished by God. God unleashed His terrible wrath against them because they had turned their back on Him. In one day, as we read in the epistle today of St. Paul, in one day, 23,000 people died because of their sins of impurity. God sent deadly serpents among them into their camps, and many died from the venom of these snakes. And that's why St. Paul says in the epistle today, all of these things happened to them in figure, and they are written for our correction. And is it not true? Men in the New Testament are delivered from the bondage of Satan by baptism. They journey through the desert of life, and they forget about God. They long for the things of Egypt, and they give themselves to impurity in thought, in word, in deed. The gospel also today contains a warning, but it's a warning about another judgment because of sin and unbelief. This judgment is against the kingdom of Judah. The kingdom of Israel was simply wiped out because they did not listen to the prophet Elias. The Assyrians came and they took the 12 tribes of Israel and they took them into bondage in Assyria. Now comes the turn for the kingdom of Judah. In the gospel, we see our Lord drawing near Jerusalem. He drew near the city which is noted for its great beauty. He drew near to the temple, which was magnificent, more magnificent than the temple of Solomon, because the temple at the time of our Lord was for our Lord to come into. It was built there for Christ to enter into and to be the Messiah of the world. And on that day, our Lord gazed upon the splendor of the temple. He looked into the future, and tears began to stream down His cheeks because He wept for His wayward children. He weeps as mothers and fathers do weep over their children who are wayward in their failure of their children to live the Catholic faith or live and receive the sacraments. And so Christ wept for the Hebrew people. He is known as the Father of the world to come. He saw that would happen in 37 years after he was there. The Roman legion would come and surround the city where they would lay siege to it. And he saw not tens of thousands put to death. He saw hundreds of thousands of Hebrews put to death. He saw in that vision 20,000 crucifixes with Jews attached to them. He saw the city leveled and the temple burned and dismantled, all because they rejected him. Tens of thousands were taken as slaves to Rome, and there they constructed the Colosseum, in which thousands of Catholics would give their life's blood for Christ. And when our Lord saw all of these things, he was filled with sorrow. And he said to Jerusalem on that day, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if thou also had known in that in this thy day the things that are to thy peace, but they are now hidden from thy eyes. These his chosen people, from the persecution of the prophets to the death of St. John the Baptist, to the rejection of the Messiah that would rebel against the will of God. They were set apart from all of the other nations. They gave to the world the Blessed Virgin Mary. They gave to the world the Savior of mankind. And yet, for the most part, they rejected the Savior and His Blessed Mother. He was in their very midst, and yet they rejected Him. He stretched out His arms to them, and they nailed His arms to a cross. He opened His heart to them, and they ran a spear through it. They gave the world a Savior, but they would not have Him as their own. And our Lord pronounced a judgment against the kingdom of Judah, just as Elias pronounced the judgment against the kingdom of Israel. And our Lord said this, For the days shall come upon thee, and thy enemy shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and straiten thee on every side. And they will beat thee flat to the ground, and thy children who are in thee, because thou hast not known the time of thy visitation. My dear faithful, these words our Lord said to the city of Jerusalem, but our Lord says them to us, if we do not heed the day of our visitation. The church brings these things to our mind because so many are like the children of Israel and so many are like the children of Judah. So many mind the things of the world. They mind temporal things. They reluctantly do the things of God. They contaminate themselves with the wickedness of this world. They watch the world's movies. They read the world's books. They tell the jokes of the world and listen to them. They think the thoughts of the world. They wear the immodest fashions of the world. And because they become contaminated, just as the Jews became contaminated with the spirit of the world, they eventually reject their Savior. Because, my dear faithful, contamination leads to blindness. Blindness leads to indifference, and indifference leads to hell. That's why St. Paul warns, all these things happen to them in figure, and they are written for our correction. My dear faithful, this is the time. This is the time of the visitation. To put our Lord first, to put our faith first. Neither let us commit impurity, as our Lord says. Let us not tempt Christ. Let us not murmur and complain. Let us not presumptuous and think himself one to stand. He should take heed lest he fall. Let us be devoted to the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart of Our Lady. Let us put God first and be away from the contamination of the world. For the reckoning of Jerusalem did come 37 years after our Lord's prophecy. And the reckoning for the world will come. God forbid we're part of the world. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.